Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and I'm reporting from our newsroom right at the our news station here in the United States of America. This is part 143 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and also this will be tape or program number 245. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways how to receive that at the end of the program. You receive a CD free of charge or a taped, audio tape copy. All you need to do is remember that it's free of charge and that there is no charge either for postage and handling. Right now, we're going to continue on with some of the things that just came into our newsroom here. Some things that will be very informative to you for these last days, so you can learn how to live a Christian life without, so that you won't be condemned on the day of judgment. Right now, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service. Open up hearts, souls, open their spirits and their minds to receive the things that you'll be saying through me, in the mighty name of Jesus, that souls can be saved and that the church can be strengthened and be given more grace, which means more power, by the power of God. Power, praise the Lord of God. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to you, Jesus, not the world government, not the media, not the Roman Empire. Your word in Daniel says that you are the one coming down to crush them into powder. So, Father, we ask that you save souls and strengthen the church in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now, people are saying that they like this song. And I sang it.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one. With the cross of Jesus, go.
Where the saints
Praise the Lord. A while ago, I think I mentioned on one of my tapes a young man in the church whose name was Scotty. And what was happening is there was a few bad people in our church, just as you know in every church. Even Jesus had one baddie. And so there's you'll find them in every church, some more than others. I had around 10 of them that were paid to testify falsely against me in the IRS trial. That's the only case that I'd lost. Over 100, I could list 100 different false things that they accused me of, but I don't have time on these programs because I've been called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many testimonials of people that have been in the church for years and know of all these liars that have stated these things. But anyway, some of the people were hating him, so I took him into the office. I mentioned this the other day. And he wrote a piece of literature. Actually, he dictated it to my attorney, Roy Jean, who was my attorney at that time, but was for afraid of defending me because he said, I have to live in this town, Tony. He said, I can't. So I had to hire Jeff Dickstein, a man from out of town, to come in to defend me on the judge. He just the same as saying that he couldn't defend me and that he wouldn't. And because people are scared like rabbits. He's a Baptist, and you know, that's why I guess the Lord says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But, you know, it won't be a very good judgment unless you stand up as a Christian soldier, one for another. You're supposed to help one another, uplift them, not because you're afraid of unjust judges and prosecuting attorneys, because you're afraid, and the media, that these judges will tell the media to slur the attorney, and he's out of business in the town. And he says he knows what they are. Of course, he probably never admitted. But at any rate, Scotty was being persecuted by a few people in the church, and so I took him into the office and let him read the Bible in there and listen to Bible tapes and things like that to get him away from those people. And if they kept persisting, we've even tried to come into the office and do things to him because they didn't like the way he looked. He had acne and he was a little overweight, and so I tried to protect him because I liked him. He was a good kid, but he didn't want to work, and so everybody was rising up saying, he's not pulling his weight here in the church, what are you going to do about it? So I kept warning him, telling him, you got to help out a little bit, Scotty, because if you don't, you know, as a testimony to the Lord, I can't treat you any different than anybody else. Now, I don't like the fact that they're persecuting you, but if you don't help out, you know, you see me working all day long, and you see other people working, even though some of them are demons, you know, we're going to have to, I might have to let you go if you don't do that. So I let him go. He just wouldn't, and so I let him go. And how people find out about people that get out of this church, I don't know. But Channel 40 went after him to bring false accusations against me. Ron Fields, the district attorney in Fort Smith, went after him to get him to falsely accuse me of things. Channel 40 did a three-part series on him in Fort Smith, and I was wondering what in the world could Scotty possibly say bad about me after I rescued him from a bunch of demons. And he really didn't say that much because there wasn't anything that he could say. And they were trying to get him to say different things, but it just didn't work out for them. So what happened is even a guy named FBI man named Jack Jewell, when he left, he went back to Boston, where he was from. And this guy, Jack Jewell, kept calling his mother and calling him and wanting him to testify falsely about me, wanted to say that I was fixing an election. They did the same thing over here in Falk, Arkansas, just recently. And what happened was he finally came over to the house and kept telling them, and Channel 40 called, and so did Ron Fields, and told Scott Gregory that I said a lot of derogatory things about him in the news, in a newspaper called the Southwest Times Record in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Of course, all this was true, but they got Scotty so angry. See, his mother, because she was Catholic, put him in a mental institution for 8 years because he believed in Jesus. This is typical Catholic stuff. And so he signed a warrant for me. He said that I kidnapped him because they says, get even with Tony. And signed this statement here that he kidnapped you and we'll get him on the Little Lindbergh Law. Well, Scotty didn't know what the Little Lindbergh Law was, but he didn't realize that it carried the sentence of death. And at the same time, the federal government's trying to get me on fixing a voting in Dyer, Arkansas, because the mayor we voted for was a person that that went to our church, and he made it as mayor. And the whole city came up against us. And the horrible thing about it was they were all people that said they were Christians. And the same thing happened over here at the city council the other night. Almost everyone there that was trying to get us hung and are making deals with the Arkansas Democrat, which is a paper that has been in Little Rock, and now they have a subsidiary over here in Texarkana, Texas. They have always been against us. And so when they called the other day wanting to know why we had guards, as if a person shouldn't have security. Walmart has security. I told the man at the Democrat that you people have security. All television stations have security. All radio stations have security. All newspapers have security because we're living in a day where they say that terrorists want to blow up churches. And just about everybody I know in business has security. Security at a mall, in different malls, arrest our people for distributing literature, or people that are our distributors in different areas, because they don't want the gospel out. But anyway, so when they told Scotty that I had done this, and so he signed this statement that I had fixed the election and that I kidnapped him. No, I put him out of the church. I did not kill. What would I want to kidnap anybody for? Why would I want to, so I could build houses for them and feed them and clothe them and house them? I don't care if anybody moves into our church. That isn't what we're all about. We're just out to preach the gospel. And when people didn't have homes, they were people that were on the streets, they were hippies. Susie said, we have to get a church and some facilities for them to get them off the streets. Kathy Gromowski was sleeping on, or her real name is Phyllis Gromowski, who named herself Kathy later. She was sleeping on toilet seats in gas stations, and we took her in. And that's what the story was with a lot of the people that are in that we took in. The churches during that time did not want to take these poverty-stricken people. They're only interested primarily in people that have money. So we took the born-again hippies in, and we took a bunch of them that were not real. They just wanted to get off the streets. It's like the Bible says, you throw a fishing net. He says we're to be fishers of men. You throw the net in, and you're going to get some good fish, and you're going to get some eels, and you're going to get some squid, which is abominations, and catfish. I know you people in that are abominations. I know you Southerners are not going to like me saying lie yet, but that's what the Bible says. They have to have scales, fins, or else you're not supposed to eat them because it's bad for your health. But so anyway, Scotty believed them and signed the thing, and then he started wondering about it, so he couldn't believe it after I treated him so well. He said, you treated me better than my mother. He came storming in from Boston back into Fort Smith, and they wouldn't show him the article. They couldn't because there was no such article. Channel 40 lied to him. Ron Fields, the district attorney, lied to him, and so did Jack Jewell from the FBI lied to them. But it was, he said, so he went to the library and went through all the pages of where they said it was in, and he said it wasn't there. And he said his heart sank, and he felt very convicted that he had done something like that. And so one of our people saw him on the street and says, hi, you know, Tony said he'd like to talk to you if you wanted to, because he really likes you. And he says, you mean Tony would talk to me after I did what I did? He says, well, you know, you didn't really say anything bad on that news interview, that three-part series. We saw them trying to get you to say something, but you didn't because there wasn't anything for you to say. He says, but I signed a complaint about him that he kidnapped me, and I lied because I thought he lied about me. Okay, so they got him on the phone. This was in Fort Smith, but I was in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I said, hi, Scotty. He says, hey, sir, I heard you said I could come back if I wanted to. And I said, sure. And he told me all the things that they tried to do. And I said, would you go over to my attorney's office in Fort Smith and let him tape you saying all these things that the prosecuting attorney, Ron Fields, did, and also Channel 40 and Jack Jewell from the FBI? He said, yes, sir, I will be very glad. I said, you're not afraid? He says, no, sir. He says, I'm so angry at them that they told us lies about you. You treated me better than my own parents, and here I lied about you. He says, so he went over to Roy Jean's office, and Roy Jean allowed our two boys to go in there, and he was there and recorded him. Then he called me back and said, could I be where you are? And I said, oh, sure, come on out, you know. So he came out there, and I set up microphones and everything as well, and I started questioning him, and he came right back with dates and times and places and names of these different people. And I said, do you mind if I put this out on a piece of literature? Now, Scotty is not what you call a scribe. He doesn't write so well, but he did lay it down really well, so far as if I, you know, kind of explain things as we go along. So, Jeannie, go ahead and read some of this.
The Truth About Tony Alamo by Scott Gregory. To whom it may concern, I, Scott Gregory, am exceedingly grateful for the mercy that the Lord through the Tony Alamo Church has bestowed upon me. My own mother would not allow me to stay at her home because of my belief in Jesus Christ and because I wanted to read the Bible. She's a Catholic. My own mother placed me in a home for the emotionally disturbed. The name of the institution is called Brandon at Petersham in Massachusetts. It was 9 years that I stayed there. Every week, Channel 40 called me after my...
Can you imagine a mother in this day and age forbidding their child to read the Bible and then put them in a mental institution because for 9 years, because they read the Bible? It's no wonder there's so much corruptness in this world today. And it's all caused, as the Bible says, because of the great whore, the big prostitute, the mother of every abomination that sits in Rome, who is powered, given its power by Satan, that great red dragon. Okay, continue on.
Every week, Channel 40 called me at my mother's home, telling me numerous lies and slanderous remarks about Tony Alamo and the Tony Alamo Church.
See, so this is, but he was there, so he should have known better than that. This is Channel 40 of Fort Smith, Arkansas. They're calling him and just beg. They wanted to hang us, just like the Democrat wants to just destroy Christianity and the news media. It's the news media the mouth of Satan. Okay, then what? And they use their propaganda to just make people hate you. And even Scotty, as well as I treated him, he began to hate me. Okay, then go ahead.
No wonder I was confused. Along with the hundreds of dollars, the fancy hotel rooms, the steak dinners, the
what they did is they brought him into town, gave him the money to come back, and they gave him a fancy hotel rooms, steak dinners, and they even allowed, said, you know, eat, drink anything you want at the bar. But Scotty didn't drink. He wasn't into alcohol. Go ahead.
The chauffeured cars.
They even chauffeured him around. They'd do anything if you'll say something bad about me, primarily about Jesus, this church, or any Christian church. Then what?
Channel 40 even gave me carte blanche at the cocktail lounge. I refused. It was a dizzy round of events. One of these lies Channel 40 told me was that Tony Alamo, in a front page article in the Southwest Times Record, called me all kinds of names. Channel 40 would not let me see the article, but said I should go to Ron Fields' office and file a trumped...
Now, Ron Fields is the district attorney there. And file a what?
Trumped up kidnapping charge on Mr. Alamo and associates.
I never kidnapped him. He came to the church of his own volition because he received a piece of literature and believed it, got saved, and came to the church. Then what?
Davis Woods and Keith Fry, Channel 40 representatives, drove me to Ron Fields' office.
Yeah, we'll even take you to the DA. And while you're here in town bringing false charges on Alamo, eat steaks, come to the cocktail lounge, order anything you want. Here's a fancy room for you. We'll chauffeur you. Here's the car. Go anywhere you want. Want to go to a whorehouse? Scotty, whatever you want. Then what?
Before this, when I was at my mother's home in Massachusetts, Davis Woods from Channel 40 called me and told me that I could really get Mr. Alamo and the foundation on this kidnapping charge.
The foundation would be our church. On this kidnapping charge?
Yes.
Okay.
And that I could call the district attorney, Ron Fields, collect, and that he would be waiting for my call.
So they're all in conspiracy to do this. Now, at the end of this whole thing, when I put it out on a piece of literature, they all got on television and say, Mr. Alamo is a very wonderful guy, and we're going to get Scott Gregory for a malicious prosecution. And so I had to send Scotty out of town to Nashville because I knew he told the truth. Because they've been slurring us for years, Channel 40, and the Democrat also, which just did a number on us in this, in Texarkana, and the Southwest Times Record, and they put it on the Associated Press. Then what?
Davis Woods mentioned to me the Little Lindbergh Law. I didn't even know what the Little Lindbergh Law was, or the penalty that it carried, until later when I talked to Jack Jewell from the FBI office, who is investigating the Dyer voting charge.
He doesn't explain the Dyer voting charge. They said, I brought a bunch of people into town that just in about a day, and then they all voted for Fayette Peavy there. That wasn't true. They all lived there. Okay? Then what?
Because of the lies that Davis Woods from Channel 40 said Mr. Alamo told about me, I was hopping mad. Mr. Fields was not in, but his secretary gladly accepted my call. When I got back to Arkansas, and after I had pressed charges...
Because the district attorney had told his secretary, if Scotty calls, gladly take the call and hustle him in here, and here's papers for him to sign. She pulled the secretary into the conspiracy. Isn't that just like the devil? Okay, then what?
When I got back to Arkansas, and after I had pressed charges, I went to the...
Pressed charges on me for kidnapping and fixing... election. False. Then what?
I went to the library to try to find this article in the Southwest Times Record, and when I found it, my heart sank because all the things that Channel 40 representatives Keith Fry and Davis Woods said were false. While I was filing these false charges against Tony Alamo in Ron Fields's and Lee Kuykendall's District Attorneys of Sebastian and Crawford County office, a deputy sheriff was also present. They were very happy and excited to file charges against Mr. Alamo and the church. At this time, Ron Fields bragged to me that he was the one that called the FBI in on the phony Dyer election scandal that he caused, and tried to get me to be afraid of the only person that has ever been decent to me and treated me fairly in my whole life.
He mentioned a prosecuting attorney. I can imagine it, because the prosecuting attorney in the IRS case where they sent me to prison on 6 years, I got off on 4 years for good behavior. That prosecutor hid all kinds of evidence that could have spared me from going. They hid ledgers and all sorts of things that I had proof that everything that they were saying were false also. Then what?
And tried to get me to be afraid of the only person that has ever been decent to me and treated me fairly in my whole life, Tony Alamo. My bed was assigned to me in Dyer at one of the dorms, and I was in Dyer every day of my life for 2.5 months before the voting. When Channel 40 put their chopped-up interview on the air, they said that I had given them numbers of people that did not live in Dyer that voted. This is not true. I never gave them any numbers at all. After reading the newspaper article in the library, I was very sad and troubled and felt that I had been used by Channel 40 and the district attorney, Ron Fields. It chilled my blood when I recalled back that Mr. Jewell from the FBI office told me that kidnapping, the little Lindbergh law, carried the death penalty. These district attorneys, Ron Fields and Lee Kuykendall, actually want to see Mr. Alamo dead. Also, Channel 40 hates Mr. Alamo because he knows they're liars and won't let them have interviews because of their lying smear campaigns during the time of Susan Alamo's death, and that they made mockery of her the time of her funeral and his mourning. So I called up the DA, Ron Fields, and told him that I wanted to drop the charges that the things that Channel 40 had said about Mr. Alamo were not true, and that they were all false charges anyway, that no one had kidnapped me. Ron Fields encouraged me not to drop charges, even though I demanded him to. He argued about this with me very much. This made me afraid, and I hung up. I could easily see the hatred that Ron Fields felt for Mr. Alamo. After being in the church and being out, it is frightening to see how people lie and twist things and confuse the public in their quest to destroy the church. Channel 40 even brought me to the U.S. Department of Labor's office, instructing me to go to the U.S. Department of Labor and help them in their quest to try to destroy the church, but they never will.
Right. They wanted me to write a check to all the people that we built homes for, fed, that we furnished automobiles for, we built a school for their children, paid for the birth of their children and everything. And on top of that, Raymond A. Donovan of the Department of Labor, along in conspiracy with every other one of the Vatican's agencies in this country, have been trying to destroy us for years with all these false charges. And what happens is the people that claim to be Christians are believing them. Bible says that even the very elect would believe evil things about Christians, if possible. And it sure is possible, because the churches today are not the Lord's churches. What they are is the fallen away of the church, mentioned in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And God said that He is, for those that don't love the truth, He's sending strong delusions that they will believe a lie, that their souls may be damned, because the Lord doesn't like people representing that they are of Him when they're actually not only receiving what the devil says, but they're helping the Vatican, the Antichrist, destroy his loved ones, the real Christians. Okay, then go ahead, keep going.
Roland Schell of the U.S. Department of Labor also made slanderous, degrading remarks about Mr. Alamo's deceased wife, Susan. They also instructed me to call U.S. Department of Labor attorney Robert Fitz in Dallas. While I was at the church, I was hateful and didn't really keep up my share of the work and wouldn't go to all the prayer meetings or read my Bible enough. At that time, I deserved to be dismissed from the church.
Right, so we're not kidnapping people. If you don't do what the Bible says, we put you out. That's what's wrong, is that these people are upset because I put them out of the church because they wouldn't keep the commandments. Not kidnapping them. How could I kidnap anybody and keep them in the church when we don't have any bars? We don't put any ropes around people or harnesses or we don't, and I have churches all over the world. I've got more, I've got a lot of people in the churches. They go into the millions all over the world. And so why would I kidnap a person that doesn't want to do anything? That's just that a lot of people didn't even like. I wouldn't kidnap anybody. Never been accused of that in my life until here. Then what else?
I praise God that I'm back at the church. I praise God for his mercy that God has opened my eyes to the tremendous amount of wickedness in these small Arkansas communities. Wickedness that is directed against a mighty work of God that is winning thousands of souls every month, saving hundreds of women and children's lives, feeding and clothing.
And also men, he doesn't mention. See, if I would have wrote that, I would have included men. Okay, and then what else? Because he was a man, now he's not a woman or a child, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Feeding and clothing and visiting people, opening its doors to strangers, and having mercy by welcoming back the prodigal son. I understand that Ron Fields is now saying on TV that he advised me to wait a day to think it over before I press charges. This is not true. He never told me any such of a thing. What he did tell me was that Mr. Kuykendall was not in his office because it was late in the afternoon and instructed me to be sure to be back at 9:30 in the morning. Channel 40, Ron Fields, and Lee Kuykendall are the ones that persuaded me to bring the kidnapping charges against Tony Alamo in the first place. And now that I am telling the truth and want to drop the charges and just serve the Lord, the district attorney, Ron Fields, is calling me a liar and malicious and saying that I could go to jail for malicious prosecutions. I testify that the malicious ones are Ron Fields, Lee Kuykendall, and Channel 40. I never met any people so vicious in all my life. Also, Mr. Jewell from the FBI's office is working with Ron Fields and Lee Kuykendall on this very much. Mr. Jewell actually asked me to find backsliders from the church who were caught stealing and are now on drugs to be witnesses against Mr. Alamo. And now that I know all these things, the lies, the phony charges, the vicious hatred, it's very frightening for me. I have told you the truth and now fear for my life. I am very sorry for what I did to Mr. Alamo. I have repented of my sin and asked God to forgive me, and I know that he has. Scott Gregory. Don Hawley, who made all the arrangements for me to fly from Nashville to Arkansas and arranged for my hotel room, food, and all the trimmings, recently transferred from Channel 40 to Channel 24.
Okay, now, here is a man that has been in Falk all his life. He's an older gentleman, probably 70 years old, 75, maybe 80. One of our men, Bert, he just was over at the church and told us this. They had a meeting at the city council the other day, and go ahead and read what he said to Bert.
A long-term resident of the city of Falk came.
We don't want to mention his name because some of these people in this town are crazy, and they are vicious. One of them said he's going to run down anyone that's takes down his license plate number over here. In other words, and then he also stated that he would run over our security guards. And I said, well, you're a terrorist. You're actually coming out and admitting it. Then what else? Read the rest. Start again.
A long-term resident of the city of Falk came by the church earlier. He mentioned a few things about the town meeting the other night. One thing he said was that most of the people making the ruckus after the meeting were ministers of the local churches.
Ministers. He doesn't say ministers of the gospel. They're the ministers of hate. Because they don't believe that people that are being fired at, shot at, should have security. It's all right. Nobody mentions anything about Walmart or any other business, but a church that wants to protect the little children, their mothers and their daddies, is wrong for hiring security against this vicious bunch of wolves. Go ahead.
The man who made the comment about the flowers being in the right of way was a minister.
Right. What the man said, because Bert was there at the meeting and videotaped it, I watched it on our screen here, he said, Now, isn't that a right of way for the city, for the state? And they said, yes, but the Alamos got permission to put some flowers on it. And I told them that in the event that they want to expand the highways, widen it out some, they could just come and do it. But because of the fact that they don't want to acknowledge that, they just want to say, because it's a right-of-way, they want to be able to run over our flowers. We're the only ones that have beautiful property. We put flowers there to try to make the town of Falk look look decent and pretty. And these devils want to just mess everything up. They don't like us being a testimony. Okay, then what?
He also said he believes the Texarkana Gazette is stirring these people up to create news. He talked a lot about different people in the meeting being related to each other also. Like almost everyone there was related in one way or another to each other.
Yeah, there are two churches that are involved there in this, that United Pentecostal Church in Falk, and then that Fairland Church. They're just like the Jack Jewels, the Ron Fields, and those two people at Channel 40. They're all in conspiracy together. They're all part of the Vatican. And if they may not know they are, but they are. They're part of the Antichrist because we're preaching the gospel, and they're not. They're preaching hatred. Then what?
He also mentioned that you can adopt the highway in the area in front of the church, and that might be advantageous. One other thing he mentioned was that a heart doctor friend of his, who he worked for many years ago, called him a while back. He told him he was trying to ease out of the medical profession into something else less stressful. He asked him to help him write a book. He said he might be able to help him save some money here and there from things he's learned from writing books. The man told him he had plenty of backing and didn't need to save any money, but he wanted him to help him write a book about the Alamos and the hanging tree in Falk.
In other words, like, let's hang the Alamos. Let's hang Tony Alamo now. They wanted to put me to death in the gas chamber or to put a needle in my arm for preaching the gospel on false charges. And now he's going to write a book, this doctor, whoever it is. I don't know who he is. And I don't know these people in the city council. I don't know the people at the Democrat. I don't know any of them. I've never met the Pope. I've never met the Cardinals. I've never met a lot of these people. And they're just making up stories. It's easy to write books if I want to write a book. I've got enough facts on people that I do know, and what I say is the truth. But they're so upset about that because they are like friends of maybe President Bush. They're Catholics, and they don't want me saying the truth about the Vatican as from the Bible. And there are all kinds of people around here that or won't do business with them if they don't come against us. You filthy vipers, you know, you're filthy. And, you know, this heart doctor, don't you know that the Lord whipped 4 bypasses on President Clinton? You better back off, Doc, because you're messing with the house, the Spirit of God over here. You don't know what you've run into. You think you're full of stress being a heart doctor. You don't know the stress that's going to come upon you if you continue on with what you say you're going to do. Because God will tell you about the hanging tree. You know, there's a story in the Bible about Mordecai and Haman. This Haman was building a gallows for Mordecai to hang on. But guess what? Haman, the one that built it to hang the man of God, he's the one that wound up hanging on it by his neck. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Doc? You want to talk about the hanging tree some more and about Mordecai? I'll be the Mordecai and you be the Haman, all right? Then what?
He told me he believes the Texarkana Gazette was backing him, and he told me the man that he would give, and he told the man that he would give him some advice. He told him to go to his backers and tell them to get another boy to do their dirty work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, let's start reading from the first chapter of Romans, because it tells about these kind of guys. Come on, Sharon.
Paul,
I'm reading from the Bible.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness.
See, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will have this sort of persecution. The reason the churches that you people out in Radioland follow don't get this sort of stuff, they're not maligned in the media or by the government or by the Vatican, is because you obviously are not righteous. All those that live righteous in Christ Jesus shall receive persecution. Now, one of these old hags out here, and I call it, because if you're disobedient to the Lord, you're a witch. And to me, a witch is a hag, okay?
Amen.
And so the reason you people are not receiving persecution is because you are of your father, the devil, and the devil's not going to persecute you. He already has you. Okay, then go ahead.
Declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship.
Okay, now grace and apostleship, that means we have received power. And by power, you cannot be an apostle unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, they like to make the word grace as undeserved favor. That's another thing from the Vatican. It's not undeserved. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a son of God. Okay? And it's, you're very deserving to have it if you put him first in your life. If you let him take over your life and begin living his life in you, and stop living the kind of vicious lives that you've been living before. Okay, then what?
By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience.
Power in apostleship for obedience, for obeying God. Now, if you obey God, you'll have power in the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name.
Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means faith in the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Then what?
Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace.
Power to you and peace. Grace means power, okay?
And
power unto you. All those that believe the gospel, power to you. But those of you that are don't believe the gospel, you're going to side in with the devil. It has no power. Satan has been destroyed by Jesus. The whole world is condemned unless you accept Jesus. Then what?
And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all.
Through the Word of God, through you all.
That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
That your faith in the power of God, because all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. And if you're in the body of Christ, you have the same power to be able to withstand all this persecution that happens to those that are of the Lord, that are righteous. I wouldn't be getting persecuted like this if I were one of you devils out there. If I would side in with you and the devil, the devil's threesome, I'd have no problem at all, because before I was saved, no one bothered me, because I was possessed with the devil back then. But the Lord cast the devil out of me and entered into me, and ever since then I've been getting this sort of stuff. Newspapers, television, radio, supposed to be Christians, the Vatican, every one of them coming after me. They're the big boogie men that you're afraid of, and I'm not afraid of them at all. Okay, then go ahead.
For God is my witness, whom I serve.
But I do fear the Lord. I fear him, and you people don't, and that's where your problem is, son, daughter. Then what?
God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me.
Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians.
Yeah, now because you people, he's talking to saved people, and he still calls them Gentiles, because you're a Hebrew Christian or you're a Gentile Christian. Okay? You are saved through the Spirit of the Lord, the blood of Jesus and His Spirit in you, but you're still a Gentile that was saved and grafted into the true olive tree. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Also to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
He's even talking to the Romans over there. He's not ashamed to do it, and he's not afraid to do it either. Then what?
It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
See, the Jew first. Then what?
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
For the but you rascals out there, you devils, you don't have faith. You have faith in the Antichrist, and you're not going to live. You only live by faith in Jesus, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Now, do you think that Ron Fields is righteous, and this Democrat and all these, the news media and the government, that they're righteous?
No.
No, the wrath of God is against them in the Vatican, okay?
No.
The wrath of God. So you people, I'm not afraid of you, but you better be afraid of what I'm telling you. You better be afraid of what God says. Open the King James Version of the Bible and read what it says. And then weep before the Lord and repent, okay? I'm not against you. I'm trying to, through all your hailstorms and everything, I'm trying to get to you with the gospel, with everlasting life, so you can have life. Okay, I'm not a hater like you. Because the Bible says to bless those that persecute you. That's what I'm doing. There's no greater blessing that I could give to you than to preach the gospel to you, to try to get your soul saved. And by doing so, if you don't receive it, and by me showing you that love, coals of fire are going to come upon your head if you don't receive it. Now that's what the Bible says. Go ahead.
The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness.
All ungodliness, kids. Okay, then what?
Of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
In other words, you're holding the truth. You know what the truth says, but then you're full of unrighteousness because you can't stand anyone that's being blessed by the Lord. Now, I must be blessed by the Lord. I've been putting up with this garbage from you people, this evil, for 42 years. And I'm still rolling, okay? Do I sound like I'm afraid of you rascals?
No.
Okay, then what?
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them.
You people have seen what the Bible says, and still you don't care. Then what?
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
So you people are without excuse. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In mercy, I'm telling you these things. Then what?
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations.
So you started imagining things about the real Christians, and because you wanted to go back into sin. And so you did. You're part of the great falling away of the Lord, from the Lord. Then what?
And their foolish heart was darkened.
Your foolish heart. Okay, fools means that you don't believe in God anymore. You've allowed Satan to enter into you. Okay? And you became fools, saying that there's no God and there's no punishment coming. Please come to your senses in the name of Jesus. Then what else?
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Professing themselves to be afraid of God, because wise means the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you profess yourself that you are Christians, that you're wise, but you became fools, saying that, God, there's no condemnation to us. Then what?
They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness.
So you say, well, God wouldn't do something like that. Yes, he did. He's saying your strong delusions made you believe a lie that your souls might be damned. If it's not too late, get back to God, okay? Okay, then if he hasn't turned you over to a reprobate mind, that's a mind that's rejected by God. Then what?
God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Right. The first whorehouse, as the History Channel even says, was the Roman Catholic Church, the nuns. If you want to have a night of companionship, just go to the nunnery, okay, according to the History Channel. Then what?
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another.
Just like the priests. And the child molesters, men with boys. You like beasts, worse than beasts, the Lord says here. Then what?
Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
Okay, the recompense of your error, in other words your sin, is that you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. You've taken on the spirit of the devil. Seven devils have entered into you. And that's why you hate me, because I keep telling you what the Bible says. What good is it going to be for you to hate me or any other one preaching the gospel or hating God? Because you're still going to hell in the lake of fire. The Lord might ease up on you if you just repent. Okay? Who knows? You might be able to get back to God. It's not going to do you any good to just keep going at us, because God's going to shorten your life if you keep it up. And let me be the first one to tell you, because I don't believe anybody else in the country's got the guts to do it, or in the world. Then what?
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
You don't like to retain God, right? You live to hate him and his people. Then what?
God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness, you people. Then what?
Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness.
Malicious, isn't it? My attorney, one of the judges downtown says, you ought to sue them, Tony, for malicious slander. Malicious slander. But you know something? I'm not into suing. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We're just praying, man, to the Lord, you people. I see my time is up, but you know, there's still time for you people to get saved. The Lord says, only acknowledge the things that you did wrong, like Scotty did. Just acknowledge. Bring in your confessions over here. Acknowledge that you did it and repent, and the Lord will enter you and cast out these demons. You can do that right now by saying this prayer. You can get back to the Lord, and those of you that don't know the Lord, you could get saved right now. And so don't let Satan get a firm hold on you any longer. Ask the Lord to enter in so you can have the power of God in you, so that you can withstand all these fiery darts, all these persecutions and everything like I have for the past 42 years. And Susie put up with that for 25 years before I did. She's a lady, but she had the power of God in her, and you can have that same power in if you'll just let him. So say this prayer now. And mean it. Say it to the Lord with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, your word says. And I'm calling on you, Lord. I'm counting on you to enter me and make me a new creature, one completely free from sin. You'll wash all my former sins away, and you'll cause me to have the power in me to where I won't sin anymore. So, Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving my soul. I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me. Now just raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord that you're saved now. and share and tell them four different ways how to receive a copy of this tape, if they'd like one, or a CD. It's program number 245. It's free of charge, including the postage and handling. The reason we're going to do this for as long as we can, as long as we can do it, until we get more finances in here, but we're just going to give you free. If you need a Bible, we'll do the same thing. So go ahead and tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, and if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ now, as you have, the Lord will stand by you just as he stood by me for the past 42 years. Until tomorrow, this is Rural Pastor Tony Lama saying God bless you and praise the Lord.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, who rules wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand.